Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
Hello, everybody. It's Thursday night. That means I am here, your host, Mary Brotherton, with my co-host, Gene Albertson. How are you doing, Gene?
Howdy. Good. How are you doing? Nice to hear from you.
Yeah. And for anybody who doesn't know this, and I'm sure there may be some, Gene and I have a daily show. We spend 15 minutes every day talking about some really bizarre stuff. But we do it really quickly in 15 minutes. And I really look forward to Thursday nights because that gives us more time to slow down and actually get to know somebody. And tonight we're going to talk to the woman who was the inspiration behind creating Mutual Rescue. Her name is Carol Novello, and she founded this organization, which is a nationwide initiative highlighting the connection between people and pets. Mutual Rescue had a film. Their very first film was called Eric and Petey. It went viral globally and has been viewed more than 100 million times. And they also have heartwarming films and the book called Mutual Rescue, How Adopting a Homeless Animal Can Save You Too. I know that Carol is inspiring people all over the country and the rest of the world to adopt. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thank you so much, Mary. It's a delight to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you here. I know Gene and I both have a lot of questions. My first question is, who are Eric and Petey?
So Eric O'Gray and Petey, who's a border collie mix, rescued one another. So Eric was in a pretty bad place in his life many years ago. He was extremely overweight. He weighed 340 pounds. And he had reached a point in his life where he was really about to kind of just give up. But he did one last attempt. He went to go see a naturopathic doctor, and that doctor recommended that he adopt a shelter dog and start walking the dog at least a half an hour once a day. And so he ended up adopting Petey, and he came into the shelter and asked for an obese middle-aged dog so they'd have something in common. And by walking Petey every day over the course of a year and changing to a plant-based diet, Eric lost over 140 pounds, and he actually lost 25 pounds. So it really was quite the story of transformation.
I need somebody to adopt me and take me for a walk every day.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you have inspiration and unconditional love in your life. It can get you moving and get you out the door.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, bravo, Eric. And now, is Petey still with him?
No, Petey passed, unfortunately. And if you want to see the short film, Eric and Petey, you can go to mutualrescue.org. The film's only about 5 or 6 minutes long. Mm-hmm. It is a tearjerker, but it's also a super happy story as well. And Eric did go on to adopt a new dog named Jake. And Jake is still very much alive and well. And Eric not only lost the weight, but he went on to run marathons. And he was inspired by the belief in him. So he kind of started running marathons while Petey was alive. But Jake, who he adopted about 6 months after Petey died, is actually a runner, and Jake runs with Eric now. So he's got a running partner in Jake.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't it?
That is really cool. The best animals in the world are always adoptees and castaways, I think, because they love so, I don't even think unconditionally is the right word, so unboundlessly that...
Well, I think they know they're getting a second chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, yeah. I don't have a dog now. I have had dogs. They were all adopted or dogs that other people just didn't want anymore for various reasons. I've never paid for a dog except for the adoption fees. I have a cat now. And promise you guys, this cat can read my mind. And it's kind of scary.
Well, you said you have a cat, but I think the cat may have you. Kenny might have you instead.
That cat has me wrapped around his pinky paw. No question about it. In fact, my husband saw him today. He sits on my desk. I work with him between me and the keyboard. And Curtis came to the door and he saw the cat. He goes, "That is the luckiest cat in the entire world." He said, "You don't let me get that close to you while you're working." I don't have a lot of choice with this cat. If I want him to not be noisy, I put him on the desk.
Yeah.
Now, you told us a little bit about Eric and Petey both being, you know, middle-aged and overweight. I know that people always know about seeing eye dogs, but are there roles that pets can play to help people with physical challenges other than a seeing eye dog?
Well, I think the role that animals can play in our life can be very profound and can influence and help transform all kinds of various situations that humans may be going through. One of the stories that I write about in my book, Mutual Rescue, is about a firefighter named Joe. And he went on a particular call and gave mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to a man who attempted suicide by drinking basically toxins. And, of course, Joe didn't know that when he went to do mouth-to-mouth, but essentially all those toxins went into Joe's body, and he suffered a series of strokes and just went into incredible physical decline. And his wife at the time didn't know. She felt like she'd lost her husband. She didn't know how she was going to get him back. And they had a couple of dogs already, one that was older, and they knew when that dog passed, it would be very hard. So they decided to adopt a new dog named Meatball. And Meatball just took to Joe in such an instantaneous way and became Joe's anchor to the world. And on several occasions when Joe went into a seizure, Meatball would go and sit on him to keep him from hurting himself and bark so that his wife, Joe's wife, would come and find him. And Joe and Meatball became this partnership and this team. And Joe really credits Meatball for helping him reengage with life again and helping him get out into the world more and feel better about himself. And it really was quite transforming. And so there's an instance where you don't have a seeing eye dog, but you do have a dog who's so attuned to you and wanting to be, you know, part of your life and engaging with you in a way that helps you find your way in the world.
I remember a long time ago, it seems like, I spoke with a woman who had a dog that knew she had cancer. Or he knew something was wrong. Every day when she stopped to take a nap because she was tired, and this was before she was diagnosed, her dog would come and he'd put his snout right on her leg, which is where the cancer was. he would just lie there and commiserate with her. And her husband noticed that dog is, you know, he doesn't sit at your head or at your feet or let you pet him. He puts his nose on your leg right below your knee. You need to go get that checked out. And sure enough, she had cancer right below her knee.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They say that dogs, that their ability to sense smell is 700 times stronger than that of humans. So that just gives you an indication of they're able to sense the world in ways that are very different from us. And so that makes sense to me that dog could have been able to sniff out cancer.
Something was wrong, and he knew it. And, you know, that's why I laugh at this. You know, I see some of my neighbors taking their dogs for walks. I would be a spoiling dog mother, but I would be a very bad neighborhood mother because I would let my dog stay at his spot and sniff around and talk to all, you know, leave messages for all the other dogs because that's what they're doing. That's their telephone. That's their Facebook. And people,
yes, that's right.
A lot of times people let their dogs do their business and they drag them away. And it's not fair to the dogs to do that.
Yeah, dogs, again, they're sensing their world in very different ways than humans do. And that's part of the wonder and awe, I think, of what they bring into our lives.
Yeah. You know, I know that I believe you're working on a program or maybe it was just part of something I'd read about helping integrate family dogs into programs with people that have been exposed to trauma or violence. Is that something you're actually doing or just something you have knowledge of?
So that's not a mutual rescue program specifically, but in the book I write a lot about how various people have adopted homeless animals and how these animals have helped them recover from trauma or help them in various situations. And one of the things that's so interesting about domestic abuse is that in many cases, people are afraid to leave situations of domestic abuse because they don't want to leave an animal behind.
Yes, I've heard
and
of that.
And so there are resources where you can find various animal shelters that can help with that, where they can board an animal for you while you get yourself into a safe situation, and then you can be reunited with your animal. So a lot of animal shelters are doing that. In the Mutual Rescue book in the back, I list resources and there are websites that you can go to find help with that. So that's really important. The other thing that's really interesting just in terms of, you know, human dynamics is that a lot of people that are abusers, they actually start with animals and then they build their confidence and they move on to humans. So there's a very tight connection there, which is incredibly sad, but you know, it's important if you're in a domestic abuse situation to find ways to keep both yourself and your animal safe. And, you know, in one situation, one of the stories I talk about in the book is a woman named Amanda and how she actually had the courage to leave an abusive relationship because her dog, who was very timid, actually stood up to her abusive boyfriend at the time in a way that made her realize that she wasn't standing up for herself, and that dog gave her the courage to leave the relationship and not look back.
What a great animal. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I give my cat credit. Yes, absolutely. I give my cat credit for saving my marriage.
Your cat to save your marriage?
Yeah. Kenny saved my marriage.
Yeah.
Curtis and I were going through struggles. We were going to a marriage counselor, and it wasn't kicking in, apparently. So he was making plans to leave, and it was going to be a mutual situation. And he wanted to go, and I wanted him out. And so he was talking about where he was going to live, and he asked me, could he leave the car at the house in the garage for a little, you know, until he found other arrangements? I said, sure, you've got 6 weeks. And he asked me about something else. I said, you've got 6 weeks. He said, well, who gets custody of the cat? And I said, well, does your apartment allow you to take pets? He goes, no. I said, then that's kind of a dumb question, isn't it? And he just looked at me. And about that time, the cat came around and circled. You know how cats will circle between your legs and around and kind of meow at you? He did that between the two of us, made like a figure eight between the two of us around our legs. And at that point, we laughed until we cried, and we cried until we laughed again. And we have been absolutely perfect ever since.
Nice.
The cat kind of sewed us together. Because
nice.
I said, I can't believe you're not, you know, you're leaving your car, you're leaving your computer, and you want to visit the cat. Because he asked me, if he left the cat with me, could he have visitation rights? I'm like, are you kidding me? But cats know, animals, any animal, I don't care if it's a cat, dog, pig, horse, cow, monkey, sloth, giraffe, or a zebra, they know more than we think they know.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I do think they have an intuitive sense about them. And we have a mutual rescue film actually called Bhuvana, Abhishek, and Lollipop. And it's the exact same thing you're talking about, Mary, which is they credit Lollipop, the cat, for saving their marriage.
Wow.
And it's really, yeah, very stunning. So it's a great short film, and it tells the story about how they were just having difficulty getting along and some differences that came up in their marriage and in their life. And when they came down to it, you know, Bhuvana was able to see how much Abhishek cared for Lollipop, and in caring for the cat realized that he was expressing his love for her. And they were able to really reconnect and experience themselves as a family because of this cat. And now they've actually gone on and started a family that includes two-legged children, not just four-legged children. And so it's not unusual for animals to play a role in helping to facilitate connections between and among humans.
Sure.
Well, I have to ask you, Carol, how many dogs do you have?
Right now, I have two cats. So I actually, okay. I have openings in my house right now for dogs. My beautiful German Shepherd.
Opening.
My beautiful German Shepherd, Tess, passed away a little while ago, and so I haven't filled that spot in my house yet. So I'm looking forward to that. And my cats, for the moment, I think, are enjoying being the only species of the household, but they're used to having dogs around. So,
Carol Novello is taking auditions right now, folks.
Yeah, there's an opening. There's an opening.
There is an opening. At least one, maybe two.
That's really cool. Yeah, I remember when Jean was fostering Bob. It was a challenge because he'd never had a dog. So he had all these dog people giving him dog advice. And then when the time came, it was almost like it's one of those situations when you know it's right. And a person came into Gene and Bob's life, and they all knew that that was going to be where Bob was going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that was hard for Gene to say goodbye, but at the same time, it was, you had served your purpose for Bob and he had served his purpose for you.
Yeah. And kind of along the lines of what we were talking about earlier about the animals knowing, I remember him kind of being that the night before we went and met his new person. He was all acting funny, and he knew I was detaching, and when it finally came down to it, in the very end, that night before bed, I told him, I said, you know, this is what we got to do, and the little guy threw his head back on my chest and laid there for a while.
Oh.
He got up the next day, and he ran out, and he ran and met this woman. So
that is so
And see, before that, he couldn't even be, 10 feet from me without getting
broken. I don't think he could be 10 inches from you.
No, he couldn't even. I couldn't give somebody else the leash, you know. And the next morning, we went and met this woman, and he ran to her and barked at me a little bit and came back and barked and ran back. So,
isn't that awesome?
Wow.
And that way it makes it easier for everybody. You know, you don't feel like. And she stays in touch with you, doesn't she, Jean? And lets you know how Bob's doing?
Oh, yeah. She sends a picture periodically. She put him in a life vest and takes him on her little the boat, you know, the sailboard. And he goes sailboarding.
Who would have ever thought Bob was a
sailboard? Awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because I only met Bob the one time. And... Mm-hmm. I don't remember what we were doing that day. We were doing something together. I think we were doing a photo shoot or something. But you had to take Bob home because he wouldn't let me near you, and he wouldn't let me near him. And
well, he just was feeling anxious, you know, very anxious. He just had to be with me every second. Couldn't go anywhere, you know. But I'll tell you what, he got me. If I'm ever in a situation where I could host another dog for, you know, extended period of time, I absolutely would be. He introduced me to the love of dogs, you know.
That's
hopefully
so cool.
I introduced him to the love of humans. So.
Uh-huh. I'm going to take a real quick break, folks. We'll be right back.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's beunique.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit beunique.org to learn more. That's beunique.org.
Welcome back. My name is Mary. I'm here with my co-host, Jean Albertson. And tonight we're talking with Carol Novello. Carol, when did you start Mutual Rescue?
Well, I was president of Humane Society Silicon Valley for almost a decade. And while I was there, people would sometimes ask me why I was helping animals when I could be helping people.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, yeah, right? And I thought that was a curious question because I knew in my own life how much animals had made a difference, and I was seeing how much animals were making a difference in the lives of the people who were adopting them. And so I started going out into the community just doing a presentation called Why Helping Animals Helps People, because I really wanted to shift the conversation and help people understand that it's not people or animals, it's people and animals.
Yes.
And one of the things that I learned is that of the $449 billion that Americans give to charity every year, only 3% goes to animals and the environment combined. And that really showed me that we needed to shift this perception so that people could know that when they're supporting animal causes, whether it's through money or through their time, that indeed they're not only helping the animals, but they're helping people too. So while I was out, you know, doing this presentation in the community, I was subsequently introduced to a gentleman named David Whitman, who was running the Tech Awards in Silicon Valley, which is like the Silicon Valley's version of the Oscars. And he really wanted to do something with animals. And he coined the phrase mutual rescue because I was telling him what I was doing with this presentation. I said, can you make that magical? And he came up with that phrase and named the initiative. and suggested that we start making short films that would really illustrate the impact at a very visceral level that people could really understand. And I had started telling Eric and Petey's story in that local community presentation, and that ended up being the first film that we decided to make and use that as a call for stories and ask people to submit their stories of mutual rescue. And then with Eric and Petey's film going crazy viral, we attracted more money that helped us create more films, which led to an opportunity to then write a book to not only tell stories but bring in the science. And from there, we've launched several other initiatives to help convert that action, that emotion into action that benefits animals at the local level.
You know, I see a lot of bumper stickers on cars that say, who rescued who?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And well, you know, I totally get that.
I was just going to say real quick there, point that out. We're getting ready to have an animal rescue event at this place I volunteer this Saturday. I guess it's, coming up this Saturday. Saturday or Sunday, this weekend. And I'm saying last year we adopted two dogs for sure to forever homes to people that came in. So it's just reaching out. People came and they had a little bit of fun, enjoyed the fresh air, met some pets, and a couple of them went home with their new friends. So
yeah,
do it again.
Exactly. And when something works, you do it over and over again. And that's one of the things I love about this other nonprofit you were talking about. Green Gables is a historic home, but they work with a lot of other nonprofits, just like they do with Be Unique. And that's what we're all about, is helping each other.
Sure.
Carol, I know that you're involved, or Mutual Rescue is involved, with Doggy Day Out, but what exactly does that mean?
Yes. So as I was talking about the content that we've created, what we realized is we had this opportunity to do something even bigger than just creating content. And that was to help make it possible for organizations to engage in programs that bring animals and humans together. And so Doggy Day Out is the first program that we collaborated with various shelters across the country to put together a toolkit that makes it possible for organizations that don't have these programs to quickly implement them in the community. And so specifically what Doggy Day Out is the ability for someone from the general public to come and take a dog out for the afternoon from a shelter that is that has one of these programs. So it's a great way for the dog to get exercise. It's a great way for the person to get exercise. It's stress relieving for both. Unfortunately, with COVID, it's kind of taken a back seat. So most of the programs right now are on hold. But if you do go to mutualrescue.org, you can see a directory that'll show you shelters that have various programs in various parts of the country. If you're interested in starting a program, you can download the toolkit. And certainly as we get on the other side of COVID, that's something that I think people will be excited about doing.
I'm sure. I am sure. You mentioned
I was just going to tell you a fun story about how we decided to focus on the Doggy Day Out program, if that's of interest.
Sure.
Yeah, so how we decided to focus specifically on creating the Doggy Day Out program was, this is when I was still president of the Humane Society of Silicon Valley, and we had a particular dog. His name was Frosty, and he'd been with us for quite a long time, I think almost a year, and we were trying to get more exposure for Frosty to see if we could find his forever home. So, you know, he'd been on our adoption pages for a while, and nobody had taken an interest, so we said, well, let's see if we can get somebody to foster him. And nobody stepped up to foster. And then we said, okay, well, maybe somebody will take them, you know, overnight or for the weekend, and you know, still cricket. Nobody was stepping up. And then we just said, would somebody like to take them out for the afternoon? And we were inundated with people that wanted to come and take them for the afternoon.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so that's when we realized there was really something going on there. And then what happens is, you know, people engage with the animal, and even if they're not in a position to be able to adopt the animal, they start advocating for that animal on social media. They post the pictures on Facebook pages,
yes,
and talk to their friends. And so what ended up happening with Frosty is that someone that used to volunteer at Humane Society Silicon Valley, she moved to Arizona, but she saw these pictures of Frosty on social media, and she was just so inspired and fell in love with him that she drove all the way from Arizona to California to pick him up and adopt him. So it's pretty amazing.
You know,
I
love that story. I worked for a while as a volunteer with a local animal sanctuary, and they had an agreement with a boarding doggy. It was kind of a doggy daycare, but they boarded animals, uh-huh, and there was a dog that was had been used in. He was a bait dog for a fighting ring. And he got rescued through the sheriff's department, and he couldn't get adopted. He was just so timid. And one of the other volunteers just took Sully, well, he's now called Max, under her wing. She was like a bulldog with, you know, a toy. She wouldn't let go until Sully got adopted. And she found a woman who was suffering from PTSD from whatever situation was, I don't remember. And she paired them together, and the woman would go and sit in the cage or in the kennel with Sully for hours and just sit in opposite corner, because he was not going to hurt anybody, but he was afraid of everybody. And so she would just sit there and talk calmly to him until one day he crawled over into her lap, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she took him home. They had a conversation about his name, and she said, the name you've got is not the name that belongs to you. Let's get you something else. And they're living happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
And it just started with one person being tenacious and not taking no for an answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not giving up. And,
he lived in that kennel.
Also something. Yeah.
He lived in that kennel for 4 years.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Well, I do think there's something about when a person is paired with an animal with a similar situation, that there becomes a resonance between the two beings, where they understand what the other one has been through or is going through, and it helps for the healing with both of them. I mean, I've seen situations where, you know, somebody is suffering from a hip injury, and they adopted a dog that also had a hip issue, and it just helped them become more accepting and tolerant of their own situation, and many
Eric
times
and
the animal. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Both
yeah.
overweight and middle-aged.
Yep.
Wow.
And now Eric's a runner, and he's got a dog who's a runner. So I think it's definitely important to pair, to find an animal. I mean, if you bring home a border collie and you've got small children, don't be surprised if that dog is herding your children where they need to go.
Yeah, it's always important to make sure that your you know, lifestyle matching is really important. So, you know, if you're a super active person, having a super active dog is a great match. If you're not as active, you know, a dog that's a little, you know, less energetic, maybe an older dog would be a better fit. So you always want to look at lifestyle and make sure that that's a good match.
That's
sure.
why my cat works so well for me and my husband, because we're both Aquarius. We tend to be a little bit cat-like and aloof, and we want attention when we want it, but when we don't, you better back away.
I wanted to say I was just thinking about when you were talking about matching dogs, that when my kids were little, that this movie came out, this cartoon movie from that was about 101 Dalmatians, and they kept saying, "Daddy, I want a Dalmatian." And I listened to a guy from one of the local animal outfits on the radio, and he pointed out, he said, this is a problem. People are getting their kids Dalmatians.
Yeah.
They're not really children's dogs at all. And I thought, wow, told the kids, no, sorry, we're not going to do that. But it was popular, very popular at the time. I guess they were coming into the shelters because they couldn't handle them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the same thing has happened with Chihuahua. So, you know, between the Taco Bell Chihuahua dog and Beverly Hills Chihuahua and all that. So, yeah, what you'll find is whatever dog has been promoted in the media ends up becoming an opportunity for, you know, backyard breeders to, you know, opportunistically make money. And then, you know, people are buying the dog not because it's the right match for their lifestyle, but because, you know, they've seen something that suggests, oh, this is the dog they should have. So unfortunately that, you know, those dogs end up coming into shelters then after that.
Sure. Not long after my husband and I got married, we talked about getting a cat or a dog. And I said, I want a dog. No question. I've always had dogs. And he said, well, what kind of dog would you want? His sister had always had boxers. And I said, oh, I want a mastiff. And he said, what is that? So I showed him a picture of it. I once had a mastiff Great Dane mix. So I'm familiar with the breed.
That's a small horse.
Wow.
Well, I had 20 acres at the time. It was not a problem. And the dog was not a strictly indoor dog either. So it was really cool for me and the kids. But when I showed Curtis a picture of this mastiff, he said, and how big does it get? And I told him they can get up to 150, 180 pounds, depending on whether we get a bull or an English or, you know, Dogo Argentina, whatever we get, it could be, you know, it could be as big as me or bigger. And he said, fine, you have pooper scooper duty. And I will never, ever take that dog on a walk. You have to train it. You have to clean up after it. And I said, you know what? I think your idea of a cat might be better after all.
Uh-huh. I know that's what my second wife said every time I ever suggested. She had a little dog, and I said, well, why didn't you ever get a big dog? She always said that, a little dog, a little poo.
Yep, makes a big difference. And some people don't mind cleaning up after their dogs, and some people do.
No.
So what's next for Mutual Rescue, Carol?
Well, one of the things that we're very excited about, we're working on up right now, to launch a new toolkit around pet pantries. So a pet pantry is essentially like a food bank only for helping families feed their pets.
Uh-huh.
And,
oh, awesome.
Yeah. So in some cases, you know, there are communities that already have pet pantries, and we are working with a company called Cuddly to create a technology platform that will make it easy for people to buy items that these various pet pantries need that are on their wish list, so they can get that food out to families and help keep pets and families together. And then this toolkit that we're creating in conjunction with other organizations that already have pet pantry programs will make it possible for communities and organizations to get these programs up and running. So we're very excited about this. It's extremely timely in the context of what's going on in the world, you know, with
yes.
so many people losing their jobs because of COVID and the potential of eviction. You know, more and more people are needing to rely on food banks right now. And in many cases, those families have animals as well. So we expect that pilot to be up and running you know, it'll be in contained with just a few organizations in the next few months, but then we'll be very proactively bringing on board new programs and getting the toolkit out there so that it can make a big difference. So we expect to be reaching kind of critical mass with that by the fall. And in conjunction with that, we'll be releasing some new films and some new content to raise awareness and let people know what they can do to help keep animals and people together. And I think, you know, one of the things that I talk about this a lot in the book especially is that, you know, when you're going through a challenging time, if you lose a job or you're struggling with financial situations, you know, the stability in your life can be an animal, and that can help provide you with an anchor and a reason to feel positive and give you a sense of purpose that can help you try and get through some of the difficulties that you're going through in life. So keeping pets and people together is just an incredibly important aspect of family mm-hmm. life, and we're excited to be focusing on this as the next thing for Mutual Rescue.
That's really good. Now, you mentioned you're creating an app or technology.
Yes, yeah, so we're partnering with a company called Cuddly that has built this technology that makes it possible to host particular organizations' wish list. They're focused on shelters in particular, and what we'll be doing is a mutual rescue branded offering that leverages their technology, but it'll be focused specifically on pet pantries. So it will include shelters or animal welfare organizations that have pet pantry programs, and it will also include food banks that are serving families that have pets and have that as part of their offering as well. So we're really excited to be able to bring that to the table in a way that will help families when they have the need for their four-legged family members.
Awesome. That is really very, it's inspiring. And you mentioned earlier science, and I wanted to circle back to that because that's one of the questions that I had. How does scientific research play into animals and people, not animals or people?
Well, I think what's interesting is that there's more and more academic research that's going in to talk about the ways that animals can help transform our lives, as well as the impact on animals. So there's a lot of research now that shows that, you know, when you're holding your cat or dog and you're stroking that animal and engaging with it, that your levels of oxytocin and prolactin and serotonin are increasing, and it's releasing this flood of feel-good chemicals in your body. And, you know, how cool is that to know that it, you know, it's not your imagination. There's actually something physiologically changing in your body. And what's really cool is they've also done this study, at least they've done it with dogs, to show that dogs have a similar reaction, that it's just as much of a feel-good experience for them as it is for the humans. And, you know, what's amazing is how much the medical community has really shifted their perspective. I think it's something like, you know, over 90% of doctors, you know, recommend pets as a way to improve your health. And that's pretty amazing.
I didn't know that. That is remarkable.
Well, you know, and the other thing too, I found out that cats purr, your body, that they purr at a frequency that is healthy for your bones. It heals bones. So your cat is healing your bones.
Yeah, I know that exactly. I'd read that lions purr can heal a broken bone.
Yeah, I'll bet. And, big.
Yeah, maybe my cat. I'm going to not complain anymore about my cat insisting every morning that he sits on my desk and leans on me and purrs. I'm just going to let him do it.
Yeah.
Because that's
good for your bones.
He's giving me therapy.
That's right.
From now on, I'm just going to tell the neighbors when they want to come over, I'm sorry, I'm in therapy right now. Go away.
Therapy. I love it.
Well, I know that there are some places that have what they call a cat cafe. where you can go in, have a drink or have a you know, sandwich or soup or whatever, and you can pet the cats that are there and possibly take one home. Kind of like instead of a doggy day out, the kitty day in, I guess.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of innovative ways that shelters and various organizations are coming together to figure out how to make it possible for animals to get adopted. And cat cafes are definitely something that have been quite popular. Again, with COVID, a lot of that has gone on hold. But I think as we get on the other side of that, we'll see those, spring up again. And certainly a lot of fun to go in and hang out with cats for an afternoon and see if one might come up and actually adopt you in the process.
I guess that's how the cats like to do it. They like to pick.
They do. And, you know, my cats are rescue, and I can't imagine paying for that kind of love. There's not enough money in the world that would pay for that level of love.
It really is priceless. I would agree.
Now, are your cats picky eaters, Carol?
No, they're pretty food motivated. You know, every animal is different, but my guys are pretty food motivated.
Well, my cat's 18 years old, and he has what they call SACS, skinny old cat syndrome, and he will not gain weight. He's never gained weight since. He's always been long and lanky, but he can't stand fish of any kind. I don't care how expensive it is, but he's gotten pickier as he's gotten older. So it's quite a trick to get him to eat regularly, because he'll go a couple of days and then he'll stop for a couple of days. And then, of course, I'm freaking out. Every time he doesn't eat, I think.
It can be challenging as animals get older. Sometimes they can lose their sense of smell, and that's one of the things that encourages them to eat.
Well, I would think he'd love fish in that case.
Well, but if he can't smell it, you know.
Yeah. And I think a lot of his has to do with texture, too. Certain textures he won't.
Yeah.
He likes the sauces. He likes saucy food and things with gravy, but only certain kinds.
Well, you know, I'm like that with the gravy, but this cat that lived with me for about 8 years, big old tomcat, he just had the dry food. And it was, he would save three pieces, and he wouldn't eat those last three pieces, and he'd walk around the house hollering till I saw he only had three pieces left.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd wait, and as soon as I got the food and came up there, as soon as it was imminent, he'd run over and eat them fast. It was so
that
funny.
That is funny.
Yeah.
He was well trained.
Yeah.
Exactly. Those three pieces were in case you didn't show up, I guess.
I think so. For hard times.
Now, Carol, when did you start Mutual Rescue? What year?
So we released Eric and Petey February 14th, Valentine's Day of 2016. So we're coming up on 5 years now.
Okay.
And, you know, during that time, we've released over 12 films. We've got 12 short films, which cover all kinds of topics from relationships and obesity and loneliness and addiction and autism and all kinds of topics.
Wow.
There's the Mutual Rescue book, which not only tells stories, but also brings in the research to balance out, so it's both head and heart. We've launched our toolkits and our programs that drive national awareness but enable people to take action at the local level, starting with the Doggy Day Out program and now with the Pet Pantry program that we're working on. And then we also are looking to bring in corporate sponsors who are looking for national awareness and national messaging, but then being able to have funds that are raised or donated go to the local level, get to the front lines where the action
right.
is actually happening. So one of our most recent corporate sponsors was actually Dutch Bros, and they made a very generous $100,000 gift, and we were able to do 10 $10,000 grants out to programs that are doing Doggy Day Out
in
a geographic footprint where Dutch Bros is located. Yeah, so we're excited about the initiative and its potential
sure.
and looking forward to creating more content and getting more people involved, especially as we get to be out and about. Hopefully sometime in 2021, there'll be more opportunity to do that.
I think so.
There will be. I think there will
yeah.
be.
So if anybody that wanted to get in touch with you in any fashion about your programs, they just need to go to mutualrescue.org?
Yeah, that's correct. You can learn more about Doggy Day Out there and download the toolkit if you'd like. You know, you can sign up to get our email so you can stay posted on when the Pet Pantry program will be coming out. If you join our Facebook page, that's the biggest way to stay up to date because we're posting regularly there. So you can find us on Facebook at Mutual Rescue. And the book is available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Independent Books. It's on Audible. So opportunities to get that without having to leave your house either.
Right.
Well, speaking of your... Yes, he woke up and he realizes that the door is closed, and that means he's on the wrong side.
Oh, no.
And it doesn't matter which side of the door he's on. If it's closed, he's not supposed to be there.
It's on the wrong
side. He always wants to be on the other side of the closed door. I wanted
yeah,
to tell you that.
Do not, yeah, but my cats don't like closed doors either.
Yeah, he just can't stand them. Unless he's the one closing it. That's
right.
A horse of another color. But I wanted to tell you that Jennifer, who is one of my co-founders in Be Unique, and she's our web designer, she was blown away by your website.
Thank
it
you.
Awesome.
She said that.
Yeah. She thought
Very
it
awesome.
Was really well done, and she really liked it a lot. She said, I want to incorporate some of that in our site. I said, you're the woman who can do it. Go for it. But, you know, we've come to the part of our show that I love and I don't love. It's what I call our parting words. And Jean and I always try to wind up every show with something. For us, it's kind of cliche because we say it for most of the same shows. He has his little catchphrase and I have mine. And I wondered if you might like to share a parting word with our audience.
Yes, I'd love to share one of my favorite quotes. It's actually from Eckhart Tolle.
Uh-huh.
And he has a wonderful book called The Guardians of Being. And he says, you know, the real purpose of pets in our lives hasn't been fully realized. And pets are here to keep us sane.
Oh,
I think that
I
couldn't be
that.
More true, especially with everything that we're going through with sheltering in place and COVID, that animals and pets in particular have been a huge part of keeping us sane during this time.
I like that. I always end my shows with, whatever you do, be kind. But I want to expand on that a little bit tonight by saying be kind to all living creatures, not just two-legged kind.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with that.
Well, and I just go through life with something in my mind every day that if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right, whatever it is. But tonight
I'd like
Bob to point
out. And we know Bob loved to have fun.
Well, Bob loved to have fun. And in his honor, I'd like to, my last parting word, I'd like to say two of them. I'd like to say meow and woof.
Yeah, I guess Kenny decided that I wasn't going to jump up from my chair and open the door like I normally do, so he settled back down. Carol, I really enjoyed this. This was
thank you so much to both of you.
You're very welcome. And once more, I want to remind everybody, your website is mutualrescue.org. And if you have trouble spelling it, just type in Carol Novello and you'll find Mutual Rescue, guaranteed.
Well, and I'll make it a point to share the website on our Facebook page, too, for our listeners and followers.
Good, yeah, for our little radio page.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bye, everybody.
See you
Thanks
all.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.